Advent season is here, and what would it be without the Gospels of Advent? We're going to start looking at those very special messages from the Gospel of Luke, as well as talk about the evolutionary process, churches included. This is The Next Step. I'm Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, connecting all the dots, and I invite you to take this step with us right now. Episode number 443.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our ninth year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Vazgen provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, giving an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by Jesus Christ. It's a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. The Next Steps are serious, fun, informative, and most of all relevant, as religion should be. So get ready. We're taking the next step.
Does the process of evolution also apply to churches? Interesting question, right? Actually, it was an interesting question because it was part of my answer to somebody. Few weeks now, we've been going to different churches, having an opportunity to go to different churches and sharing in the Divine Liturgy. And after a recent worship service, the Divine Liturgy had taken place, and a gentleman approached me, and he looked, well, let's say quasi, okay? No, we're not Quasimodo. Don't do that. He looked quasi-intellectual. And it was obvious that he came from some kind of educational background, and sure enough, he approached me and introduced himself, and he said he was working on his doctoral thesis, and it was his first experience inside of an Armenian church, and he had a list of questions and asked me if I would assist him. Actually, it was a friend of his who had brought him to the church, who brought him over, introduced, and so on. So I said, sure, be happy to, and he was in the role of observer, and actually that Sunday, so was I. We're visiting different churches. I had a chance to be at this particular parish, and this gentleman asked me, well, what's the purpose of the curtain in the Armenian church? Quite different than the other Orthodox churches, right? Other Orthodox churches, they have the iconostat. This, in the Armenian church, unique, we have the curtain. And I explained to him that symbolically, it was to symbolize sin. That basically it is sin that prevents us from seeing the grandeur of God. And so as we draw the curtain, it brings to mind that, God's presence, the beauty of God, is hidden from us. Why? Because of sin, because of our inability to reach that perfection here in this life. And so anyway, a little discussion about that. Then he asked me an assortment of questions about the liturgy itself. And what got to me was the final question that he turned to me. I know you're going to relate to this one. He says, is it normal for everyone to be so... I think he was trying to be nice. And he didn't know that this was not my parish. I mean, obviously, I was standing in the chancel area with a few other clergy that day. And for me, it was very obvious that, this is outside of my church. But he's asking me as if, it's my parish, and he didn't want to offend me. That's how I took it, for them to be somber. And I said, what do you mean? He says, there's just no, it just seems like everyone is just following along, and there's no interaction. There's no participation. Yeah. And a big smile comes on my face. And it was almost like I didn't even think about the answer. And it just came out. And I said, well, this parish has not evolved. It just came out, and it got me thinking about, well, yeah, there is evolution. If living entities, living beings, living organisms, and living institutions, such as the body of Christ, as the church, they evolve, don't they? And we have seen in many parishes where that evolution has been speeded up, and there's this healthy dialogue, albeit not too many parishes, but there's this healthy dialogue, there's this healthy discourse between congregation, priest, deacons, and going back and forth. And in others, there's still the mentality of the participant being an observer. And if you notice, in all of the ancient texts of the Divine Liturgy, there is no choir, so to speak. There is the priest, there is the deacon, Kahana Sargavak, and the third portion is called Jovurt, the people. It is the people's liturgy. It is the people who have to celebrate that liturgy. And more often than not in our Armenian churches, and I think in a lot of traditional churches, you'll see this, more often than not, you'll see that people come as observers. And as an observer, you can watch. You can even participate to some degree by participating in the communion act, actually receiving the Holy Communion, but you are not completely engaged. And what happens is your mind wanders off. What happens is when you're not engaged in anything, I don't care if it's a liturgy, if when you're driving, okay, if you're not engaged in that driving process, you're driving a car, how many times, I lift up your hands right now if you could relate to this, have you entered a car and come out on the other side and said, wow, how did I get there? Because at some point, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. And you have a contempt for that driving, and it's the familiar road, and you sit in your car at the beginning, you turn it on, and then your mind wanders. You go somewhere else. And yeah, there is this contempt for the church because, in a sense, it's a familiar process. Every Sunday, we're doing this divine liturgy, and if you're not engaged in it, if you are not a participant completely, I don't mean just receiving the Holy Communion, the Holy Sacrament, but by being a participant, understanding with your heart, by sharing in those prayers, well, yeah, it's going to be like a trip you're taking where you sit in the car and you get out at the other side and you said, hey, I'm here. I've arrived, but how did I get here? Yeah, I know. It begs the question. Do we need to know how we got there? We got there. Well, yeah, we do need to know it, especially in terms of the Divine Liturgy. It's important because this is our dialogue. This is our worship practice with the Creator. This is our worship. This is our dialogue. This is our communication with all of eternity. So, when I get a question like that, like, how come people are so somber? How come they're not interacting? Where's the smile on people's faces? You have to ask, yeah, well, what are we doing wrong that the people are disengaged? They're not part of it. That have not evolved as a community, as a parish. And you will walk into some churches where there is at least, on the evolutionary scale, there is some progress, right? You go into a church and may not be the best of experiences, but at least there's an attempt being made of people participating vocally, even in some small ways by hugging. I know that in our parish in Glendale for so many years, we adopted this practice of the kiss of peace being distributed by a pair of people, a couple, so to speak, that had some kind of connection with one another. For instance, a mother and a daughter. For instance, a husband and a wife. For instance, a father and son. Brother and a sister. Some kind of connection. And not necessarily blood relationship, right? People who have worked together, who have been together, who have shared together, best girlfriends, best boyfriends who have been together, okay? And it just changed the entire complexion. I remember in particular as we'd watch, especially when young people were giving the kiss of peace, I've got to tell you, it is really on the other side of the evolutionary scale, where you realize that this is a living church. If you're familiar with the practice within the Armenian church, it's usually a couple of parish council members that resemble closely in dress and appearance, like a mortuary. A gentleman who works at the mortuary, you know, nicely dressed, not extravagant, nice suit, clean. And they come up, they receive the kiss of peace. Christ is in our midst. Christos imechmet haidnetzav. Christ has been revealed in our midst. What an incredible message. And they put their hand on their heart and they do this kind of mock kissing. Mock kissing, in other words, they reach out and extend to each side of the cheek, two sides of the cheek with their hand on their heart. Now, if somebody were to ask why this practice, there's really no explanation. I guess you put your hand on your heart like as a symbol of this is what I believe, like I pledge allegiance, so therefore this is what I believe. The official language of the church is, it is the kiss of peace. As St. Paul writes, he says, greet one another with the holy kiss. And so I guess, you know, instead, there's some issues over here, modesty issues. I would say some Victorian era leftovers that people just don't get too close to people. And so they do this mock kissing of touching each other's cheek. And sometimes, you know, it's very robotic. How else can I describe it? And so when you have another opportunity to do it, you truly get involved in there. And so what we'd do is we'd get people. And my wife, Susan, was actually appointed in charge of finding those people. And she'd come up with these really interesting combinations, you know, two best friends, two little kids, you know, that was probably you want to talk about tearjerkers when you'd see the little kids getting up there. People in the congregation, their reaction. It's not like they were trying to say, hey, what am I going to say? Because, you know, that's the other side of the kiss of peace. You know something is going to be said, but you don't know what it is because it's a formula. Christos imechmet haidnetzav. Christ has been revealed among us. And the response to it is, Orniale haidnutyunun Christosi. Blessed is the revelation of God. Now, this is how you greet one another in the Armenian Orthodox tradition. Christ is revealed among us. The person receiving that kiss, that message, responds by, blessed is the revelation of God. And by, or Christ, of course, God. And by making this gesture of the kiss of peace, we complete that invitation by St. Paul to greet one another with the holy kiss. Well, it has evolved in a negative sense that it's become very robotic now. So people are scared to death. Like, what do we say? What do we say? And do I have the words right? Are they in the right order? Well, you know, it was never intended to be like that. It was just to reach out to one another and say, Christ is in our midst. Christ is here right now. Because the holy gifts were brought around. It takes place right after the gifts have been brought around by from the side altar to the main altar. The priest has received it. He has heralded the news that it has arrived. And so now we greet one another with this kiss that Christ is in our midst. And that's how simple it is. But we make it into this robotic response. And if you deviate from that, it's like a grave sin for many people. What do I say? What do I say? No. Relax. You know, take it easy. That's part of the evolution, right? Maybe it's part of the being born in the 60s and 70s. You just relax. I don't know what it is. But we don't need to be that formal. It's just about acknowledging that right now something awesome is happening. Christ is in our midst. And in that simple way, people are engaged at that moment. Now, can you replicate that throughout the Divine Liturgy? If you can do that, you've got a secret right there. What you've done is you've evolved throughout the Divine Liturgy. So many opportunities to react to the singing, to the invitations. Psalmos asatzek, sing psalms of praise, the deacon say. Okay, if the deacon is inviting you to sing those psalms of praise and you stay quiet, you don't participate in that, well, it means you, first of all, you haven't understood the the invitation. Second of all, you're on that road trip. You've gotten on at the beginning, and you're going to arrive at the destination. But along the way, you've missed all the color around you. You've missed everything that's happened. Sometimes good, sometimes bad, right? But, I'm talking about in the metaphor of the drive. Yeah. And this is what happens too many times in churches. Like I said, more often than not. And so what this gentleman was observing was, a church that had not evolved. So everything was very robotic. And people were there with blank looks on their faces, looking around like, we know we have to be at this church for what God knows whatever reason. And we know we have to go through these motions, but don't ask me what these motions are about. And when you know what those motions are, what it's about, then it becomes real in your life. It has meaning in your life, like anything else. It's no different. I've struggled with this for so many years. People wanting to put the church in a different category than life itself. In life, we have rules and regulations, and we know that things evolve. Why are we so dead set on not allowing it to evolve? There is a hymn in our church. It goes, Takavor yeknavor, yegeretit ko ansharjbaya. In fact, one of the churches have even put that up over the altar space, which is kind of, I guess, supersedes Christ. Is that what it's supposed to mean? But they've put that up. Yegeretit ko ansharjbaya. Keep your church unshaken. That's a nice wish, and you know where it's coming from. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know that's where it's coming from. But on taken by itself, keep your church unshaken is really not something you want to be in. You don't want to be in anything that is not evolving. You want a little bit of shake-up. You want a little bit of rock and roll. You want things to move around because it shows that you're alive. The things that really stay stagnant are the ones that are dead. And you go into any cemetery, there's just tons of bones, right? They're just there. Yeah, eventually they become a worm meal, a worm food. Okay. I guess that's another evolutionary process, but it's not a positive one. And what I'm talking about is getting into it, understanding it, and making it positive. Now, what I'm going to share with you today are the Advent Gospels. I'm going to share that during the second portion of today's show because it is an unknown area. We're going to do some Bible study on the Advent Gospels. But I just offer this as a prelude to what we're going to be talking about today. This idea of evolving and not being scared to be a participant at every level within the divine liturgy. Hey, let's start off our show. I know that was a kind of a long introduction, but we do have a good show for you today. As I said, I'm going to share with you some Bible studies. I'm excited like nothing else. Last night we had our meeting for the Christian conference coming up. I've told you, put it on your calendar. March 10th, 11th, 12th. Get down to Los Angeles. A youth rally Christian conference, and we are so excited that His Holiness Karekin II, the Supreme Patriarch Catholicos of all Armenians, has noticed what we're doing and wants to be there to offer His blessings. And this is going to be unprecedented 3 days. You want to be here. So last night we were at the meeting. I was running the the organizational meeting. In preparation, getting all the things in check. And the primate was there, Archbishop Hovnan. And here it comes. Are you ready? When you pray for something, be careful what you pray for because you may get it. He sanctioned alternative services to take place. And the reason is because for the last 2 weeks, every evening of the week, we have been getting together at 10 at night. And people said, nobody will come out. You'd be surprised how many people will come out. People are coming out. And we are participating in a very I don't want to say abbreviated, but bare bones, essential. How's that? Essential worship, where we get together, we sing some psalms, we sing some hymns, we pray, we hear the gospel message, and we go home. Begins at 10 o'clock. We're finished by 10:15, 10:20. And last night, a lady came up to me and she said, "Thank you for doing this. I get home and I sleep. I sleep peacefully. I put my head on the pillow. And what a beautiful way to end my day." And it just really made me feel good, like this is what it's all about. When you understand the worship, when you're part of the worship, yes, it makes sense and it affects your life. So the Archbishop last night gave us clearance. We're going to be starting alternative services, liturgies, and that I'm hoping within the next few weeks. And the exciting thing is now we have technology that could get it out to you. I got to tell you, if you are on any one of the social medias anywhere, Facebook, for instance, they have this streaming service. You go live. Oh, when I saw that a few months ago, it came out. I'm going, wow, were we off? When we were starting to do this 10 years ago, we were streaming our Bible studies. Oh, you don't know what we had gone through. I sound like an old man who would tell his children, "Hey, you don't know what we used to go through. We used to go 10 miles in the snow without any shoes, with torn pants and everything." Well, it was just like that. I mean, we'd have our Bible studies Wednesday evenings at 7:30, which meant that Susie would have to be at the church turned into studio at 5 o'clock. And it would take us a good hour just to set up the computers, to set up the cameras, makeshift cameras, put upon boxes, and wild days. And then to test it, because we'd use all kinds of streaming services that were in the early days. Internet was not what it was back then. And now when I look at it, that anybody with a smartphone could basically be broadcasting. And some of the stuff is really junk out there. I got to tell you that too. But we're excited because we get to use that same technology to promote this work that we're doing. And so you'll be part of that. The Next Step group will be part of that. That's coming up, and I'm very, very excited about that, as if you could not tell from my voice. So we've been doing Vespers every night, been going good. Last Thursday, after I left you, I went to the St. Joseph's Providence Church Hospital, where we did Thanksgiving service and blessed wheat. No, that was last Wednesday. Excuse me. We did that last Wednesday. Did I get a chance to talk to you about it? I don't know why it's on my notes over here. So in case I didn't get a chance to talk to you about it, it was an interesting little deviation from the norm in that we did the service and there was like a handful of people in the congregation. But watching us through the video and the output was, they say, over 2,000 people had the ability to watch us in the patient rooms at St. Joseph Providence Hospital. So it was a different type of Thanksgiving service. And again, thanks to technology, we reached into areas that we otherwise would not have been able to. But the pioneer of all that, hey, you're listening to it right here. It's called The Next Step. We're going to come back in a few minutes, and we're going to be looking at the Advent Gospels today. And I think it's going to be something you'll be excited about. I was when I discovered them, and I want to share them with you. Right now, we're going to kick off the Advent season with, well, a favorite group of mine, Element Band, and you've heard them many times featured here, Ada Dabanchen. How about some Christmas music? Did you know that they had a Christmas album? This is off of their Christmas album. This is called God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, the Element Band. Thank you. That was the Element Band and Aradabanjan playing God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen. It's off of the Spirit of Christmas album. Something to get us in the mood for the times ahead in the next few weeks. We're going to be talking about Advent right now. That's what it's all about. Preparing for Christmas. And what better way than some great music. Element Band, Aradabanjan. We will have a link on today's show notes to that album as well as to the band. Do check them out. And so you know we've featured them many times here on The Next Step. And I feel very fortunate that living in Southern California, one of the perks of living in Southern California, we get a chance to hear them every so often here and there at different venues, and always a pleasure to listen to them. Just kind of puts you in a great feeling and a great mood. Element Band, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. Well, we are in the Advent season. Now, this is a special period that the church has set up in preparation for Christmas. Now, whether you accept Christmas on December 25th, January 6th, really doesn't matter to us because we celebrate Christmas just about every day of the year. Yeah, there are some days where we are kept from those festivities and excitement because of our own undoing, because of our inability to evolve with the times and put a smile on our face. But for the most part, we want to believe that Christmas is a celebration that can be celebrated every single day of the year, every single moment. In other words, the Christ child, making the Christ child, making the presence of love, love being incarnate, making that love real in our lives. That's something that we are all called to do December 25th, January 6th, and every day. Okay, with that being said, the Advent period has a unique set of Gospels that are read. And although I've been a priest for 35 years and I have practiced the lectionary, I've followed the lectionary, and I've made a point of always preaching the lectionary, it never really hit me that the Advent Gospels are a combination of Gospels in themselves. In other words, as a body of Gospels, they are essential to put us in line with the Advent season. Now, to put us in line with Christmas, that is, at the end of the Advent season. Now, think about it this way. In the spring, we have the Lenten period, which prepares us for Easter. And we are very regimented, especially in many churches, primarily because the Sunday school lessons have been written this way. We're regimented. We understand that there is a pattern to that Lenten period. In other words, we start off with Bun Pareginton, the day of good living. We have Expulsion Sunday. We have a message about the prodigal son coming home. We have the Sunday of the judge, the steward, Advent Sunday. And it all leads us all the way to Palm Sunday and Holy Week. So it's the preparatory period before the Easter Holy Week. Well, so too, during the Advent season, we are prepared and we have a preparation. But unlike the Lenten period, which has unique names for every Sunday, in other words, the Sunday of the prodigal, you focus in on the story of the prodigal son. Unfortunately, the Advent period has not been developed like that. So we may not have understood that there is a block of Gospels that are so important that I would say that if you miss the opportunity of one of these Gospels, you're off track to understanding how powerful Christmas is. And I didn't get that until this year, when I happened to be, again, another opportunity because I'm now, as an observer, I'm going to these different churches. I heard a priest who basically missed the opportunity to talk about that gospel message. Because I've done it like so many years, and because I've practiced following the lectionary readings, I knew that Sunday what the lectionary was. And so as a participant, I'm sitting there and I'm listening for that message. I heard it in the gospel, and when it came time for the homily, for the sermon, it was completely missed. And I said, wow, did we miss something here? Yes, we missed the opportunity to connect the dots between ourselves and Christmas. And I started thinking about these gospels. These gospels which are read during the Advent period. And I started meditating on them. And I realized that each of these gospels has such a unique and powerful message that needs to be told, needs to be prayed about, needs to be shared. And so that's what I want to do today. I want to share with you these gospel messages. It's one every Sunday, coming from, interestingly enough, I didn't realize this until I put it down for today's podcast, all of them come from the Gospel of Luke. In other words, the Sunday Gospels that are read between the beginning of Advent and Christmas Day all come from the Gospel of Luke. And all of them talk about an incredible social mission of the church. Interesting, huh? They talk about our response to Christ. Each of them talks about the Christ child, not as a baby wrapped in a manger, but as the Christ child in our lives that we have to interact with. The poor, the lame, the hungry, those in need being identified as the Christ child. For instance, the first Sunday of the Advent period, known as Paragenton, or the Day of Good Living, before Advent starts, right? The message from Luke chapter 11 is about teach us how to pray. And here we see that Jesus is confronted by the disciples to teach them how to pray. And as we know, that Jesus utters the words of what we typically called the Lord's Prayer. I like to call it the Our Father who art in heaven. And Jesus says, this is how you pray. He says, pray like this, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation. And then he continues in this one. This is different from the Matthew version of the Our Father. In that in this version, Jesus, Luke version, he talks and he says, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Jesus then says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. In other words, we know how to deal with one another. We know what's required of us with one another. And Jesus says, so I tell you, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. This is the reading that comes to us from the first day of the Advent period, the Paragenton of the Advent period, that Sunday. Now think about it for a moment, right? You're getting ready for Christmas, Advent, and the first message that comes to you is ask and you shall receive. And how do you ask? Well, here's the Lord's Prayer. You ask for the forgiveness of your sins by forgiving others. Your daily bread, well, how do you get your daily bread? By providing, by sharing, by giving opportunities to to others. So the first call of the Christian season is already made by this prayer. Now the second gospel that is read during the Advent period comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. Now, it's such a powerful gospel that to me, you cannot get to Christmas without passing this bridge. And maybe that's the beautiful metaphor that we need to come up with, that these Advent gospels are each bridges that connect this road to Christmas. And if you have one of these bridges out, you're not going to get there. You're going to be stuck behind. And it's so important. It's the message of the rich fool. It comes to us by the way of a parable. Jesus is approached about, somebody asks him, tell my brother to divide his inheritance with me. And Jesus, this is why I'm saying it's so important. This is the bridge you can't miss, okay? He says, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Now, about 20 years, 25 years ago, I remember there was a very famous saying going around this country. He who dies with the most toys wins. Yeah. Until somebody else came up with an even more powerful one. He who dies with the most toys still dies. And I think that's what's expressed over here. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And then he goes on to tell the parable of the rich fool. He said, the ground on a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what should I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns, build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. And God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. Let's repeat that. This is how it will be for whoever stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. The fool! Remember Jesus would instruct us. He says, don't even call anybody fool, and yet he calls this man a fool. Because this man was, storing up for himself? Martin Luther King Jr., such a beautiful way of expressing this particular parable, he said, hey, I knew what he could have done with that extra food. Instead of taking that extra food and storing it into another barn, he said, how about the small bellies of those hungry children all around the world? Yeah. What good is that abundance that you have if you've lost the ability to commune with God? And what good is all that abundance in the end? And so, look at that. What a beautiful passage that is, segue that is, to the Christian message. So we've now got two lessons during the Advent season, and each of them are a progression of the Gospel of Luke. In other words, progressing, starting from the 11th chapter, we're moving forward. This particular week also concludes with, and Jesus said, "Do not, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food, the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They shall sow, they do not sow or reap. They have no storehouse or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds." And he goes on, I know you've heard this, the lilies of the field. And he instructs us that life is more than the abundance of the accumulations that we have. Now we have a problem with this. You got to know that, okay? Especially in a capitalistic society. We have a problem. This is why a lot of times people fail to understand why Christianity is not a popular religion. True Christianity, okay? True Christianity. Because when you really get down to it, it's not about the abundance or the accumulated wealth that you have. And what does the society tell you? I'm not talking about, like, the cultural norms, but basically pure capitalism is you're a better person, you're the richer you are, the more you have, the more wealth you have, the more accumulation you have, the higher in status you are. And we validate people who have accumulated more, whether it's through initiations through the churches or in society. If you look around you, the ones who get the big recognitions are people of wealth. And in fact, we just saw one that was elevated to the position of President of the United States. And you say, wow, there he is. There's the billionaire. But you know what? All of them are financially doing okay. They get up to that point. That's part of politics too, right? And so when you put it next to the Christian message, which says that life is more than an accumulation of your wealth, and you go, what? I don't think so. And you see why pure Christianity, or what we call armodoxy, going back to the ancient term, right? You see why it can't work. Why it doesn't work. I'm surprised. A no-brainer for me is, for instance, Thanksgiving and Christmas season to do some kind of outreach program. Seriously, think about it, okay? You can argue, different churches, different parishes can argue different ways. Now it's difficult. We have mortgages to pay. We have salaries to deal with. We have this and that and this and that and this and that. But when it comes down to Christmas, the Christmas season, the Thanksgiving season, there's an incongruity between our life and what we see out there, and so we are compelled to help out. You sit at a Thanksgiving meal with the abundance of food, and you know that there's people outside who are homeless. It gets to you, and so you reach into your pocket and you help out. Same thing with Christmas. You go and you do your shopping, you buy this and that and everything for people who don't need it, and then you see that outside there's people who are in true need. And so your heart opens up and you start helping out people. And I can't understand that even at this season, there are still churches, parishes that will fight it. And what do we care about the poor? What do we care about others? Where you see over and over and over and over again, and in particular through this block of Advent Gospels, the messages during the Advent season in preparation for Christmas all point in one direction. And that's for us to share what we have. Share the goodness that God has given us. He's made it. He's made our barns full. Instead of building bigger barns, how about expanding by taking what God has given us and sharing it? Using it for the betterment of people, of humankind, of our neighbors, to help those in need. And so when I tell you if this bridges out, yes, you're not going to get to the destination. Now, the Gospels, the Advent Gospels are very, very powerful. And I shared with you that, you know, during the season, we take them all as a block. I'm looking at the time right now. I do want to spend a little bit more time on it. I'm going to do one more gospel, and then we're going to leave the others for next week. We'll spend some more time going on it. Let some of this absorb. What I'm saying today is that this period of Advent is really underrated. Perhaps because we have not made that connection of labeling each of the Sundays and by centering on the importance of the Advent season vis-a-vis the Gospels that have been shared to us by our church fathers. The next one comes to us, the third Gospel of the Advent season, comes to us from the Gospel of Luke chapter 13. Let me read it for you. It's about repent or perish. Think about those key terms as we go through this right now, okay? Repent or perish. There were some, the gospel says, at that time, who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifice. Jesus answered, do not think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or these 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them. Do not think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem. I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Let's talk about that because, you know, we get carried away with the details and forget about what the important message is over here. An event takes place that everybody in that area knew. Pilate mixing the blood with their sacrifices. What is an event that we all know? A tragedy that takes place in the world, okay? A disaster that takes place. Well, this one is a human-made disaster, right? Okay. And the other one is the tower falling down. Well, the tower, we have that one, right? 9/11, the Twin Towers, they fell down. Okay, so imagine people going up to Jesus and saying, tell us what that meant. 3,000 people were killed. Jesus' response is, it's not because they were sinners. In other words, people were making this association, and there are many people in the religious community, even today, who make this association that tragedy befalls upon people who deserve it. It's a one for one. And so when tragedy befalls upon somebody who seemingly is a good person, we can't comprehend it. We go, what? Something's off over here. Why did that happen? Why do good people suffer? That's basically what this story is about. Somebody came up to Jesus about an event that had taken place. Let's say a hurricane. Okay? And 15 people were killed in that hurricane. And they've come to Jesus and said, why were they killed? And Jesus says, it's not because they were sinners. But I tell you, unless you repent, you too will all perish. He's focusing on repentance. He's focusing on our responsibility to answer the gospel, and that's repentance. It's not enough that we claim Jesus as our Savior, but it's validated when we make a gesture, the repentance gesture, to say that I have done wrong means you turn around from your ways. It means you turn around. Repent, that's what it means, to turn around. To go in a different direction. And so we all make mistakes. And what Christianity, what Christ gives us, is this ability to turn around from our ways. To say that that past is something I'm not proud of, but I'm moving forward. And the path to forwardness is in this turn that I make. Unless you repent, you too will perish. Jesus tells us straight out. Now that is the third gospel. I'm going to give you the other gospels. I'm going to share them with you right now, the readings. And then we're going to get to them next week. Okay, I promise. I'm going to continue. Because actually when I started recording a few minutes ago, I was very excited about doing all of them. But I'm understanding that these are really powerful. And how dare I think that I could do them in one sitting? How dare that I think I could do them in two sittings? It really, each of these requires some time, and it requires us to really get close to them. Let me read off the Gospels, and I'll put them in the show notes today so you could check them out, okay? I'm going to ask you to do the readings, okay? Do the readings in preparation for next week. So today we looked at Luke 11, 12, and 13. Next week will be Luke 14, 12 through 24, the story of the great banquet. Luke 17, 1 through 10, the sin, faith, and duty. How's that? And the third week of Advent, which would coincide with Christmas in the West, it's on this year, actually coincides right with it, right on the day, December 25th. The third one that we'll do next week is Luke 18, 9 through 14. And that, of course, is the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. As I shared with you, each and every one of these points us, each and every one of them is a bridge that combines us, that allows us to walk on that road from Advent to Christmas. So that child that we see in the manger, Jesus Christ, is not this little infant baby, helpless, insecure, but is the Prince of Peace, is the Savior of the world, is one that we connect with vis-a-vis these bridges, these gospel messages. So next week we will continue. Today we have three. We'll have three of them next week. I hope you're on board with me. And right now, I'll let Susie make her announcements. I'll be back in a couple moments to wrap it up.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the ninth year of producing shows which are heard around the globe. Since 2008, we've provided quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. Please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you, all of you who listen. Hope you've been enjoying this show. We are expanding at a new rate right now. We're looking forward to starting our broadcast very soon of alternative services. We are also in the process of putting together an incredible conference, and that conference takes place March 10th, 11th, and 12th in Burbank, California. I would highly recommend that wherever you are, and on this planet, that you buy, beg, borrow, steal some cash and get over here. And I'll tell you what, if you come from outside of the area, mention my name during registration and we'll comp it, okay? We'll do it a comp from Next Step. You have to be living outside of the area. Actually, if you're living in the area, there's some other ways that we can get you some financial assistance if you want to be at it. It's $125 for 3 days. Unbelievable. That includes your material. That includes entrance to all the sessions. That includes your meals. March 10th, 11th, and 12th. You're not going to want to miss this one. A Christian conference, Burbank, California, at the Western Diocese headquarters. And so all of this takes place, believe it or not, thanks to your prayers. Thanks to your contributions. Whether it's that little pat on the back that we get from you, the email we get from you, or from a check that we get from you. It's all part of this ministry. You're a part of this ministry, and we appreciate it very much. So with the Christmas season here, please remember this ministry in His shoes. In your Christian giving, we appreciate it very much. And I'm going to call it a day right now because I've got some fun stuff coming up right now. Yeah. Oh, if I told you, geez, it's like then I get accused of, you're like putting it all out there. No, there's a lot of fun stuff. Especially tonight, we're going to be going over to the church. We have church services. We have exciting opportunities for us to share our faith through our conference. And of course, we have you as Next Step listeners. Why shouldn't we be excited? Right? How's that? Anyway, I want to thank you for joining us on behalf of the wonderful team who put today's show together. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed putting it out for you. Join us during the week at Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever you may be. We're there as well. For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, This is Father Voskin inviting you to inhisshoes.org and to join us again next week when we will take the next step. Yeah, you know I forgot.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Off power! On top, there it is.